We're beginning a new series entitled The Warrior. And today we're talking about the hesitant warrior. And every week I meet with a transformation group of three other guys. And we all from different walks of life. But we're all trying to be out there on the firing lines and the front lines being godly men. And it's great because we have a chance to encourage each other and pray for each other and kind of hold each other accountable. And this whole idea of being a warrior, what are some of the things that you think we as men are out there fighting today in our culture? What's the battle that you think we need to step up and get engaged with?
I think myself in the marketplace, it's just, or in business, it's just doing what's right, doing what God would want us to do, trying to keep our moral values and still be able to be in the business and be competitive and to operate, but operate in a godly manner.
Do you feel like most of the people you guys interact with, that they do live by godly values, or do they live more by, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get the deal?
I believe most people live by whatever it takes to get the deal. I think there's a tremendous battle between profits and values, and I'll change my values to make a profit.
Yeah, I think that what we used to believe that were ethics and rules are really gone out the window. There's gray areas now. I mean, we had talked, and you've heard the term out there, politically correct. And that seems to be the rule that people want to go by. And I don't know when that rule became the rule. Okay. Spiritually correct is probably more important than politically correct. But now people want to go by that. And it's an excuse to be able to do what they think they'd like to do or say what they'd like to say and then be excused for doing it. But really, it's a way to just try to step away from the responsibility of doing what's right.
Sometimes as Christian men, do you find that we're hesitant then to step out because of the consequence?
I think especially right now, it really more challenges our faith. Like I said, you know, people right now in the business world, what I see, a lot of people are in survival mode. You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to survive, like you said. But instead of really buckling down and, okay, you know what, God, I'm going to stand on your promises. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to do what's right. And I believe you're going to honor that. And I think that's the biggest challenge right now is just, you know, it's challenging our faith. We need to stand up and believe and trust.
What happens to a culture if Christian businessmen are hesitant? What's the ramifications?
Well, I think there are the immediate intended consequences is that you avoid the situation and you think you may have saved yourself, saved your company, made some dollars. Then there's the unintended where you lost an opportunity to do the right thing. And that unintended consequence has a much more value impact than the immediate one, just like it does in your spiritual life. You know, you get the immediate satisfaction, but the long-term gain has been lost. That's what happens when you don't stand up at the right time.
And I think our culture is suffering today because Christians have been hesitant in the marketplace. Is that fair? That we've allowed sometimes the values of the world to take precedent over what we knew was right.
And that's a key issue because Christians, when we don't step up, the values and the playing field and the rules are changed. Because what we're taught in corporate America is there's not a right and a wrong way as much as just differences. So whether it be Christian values or some non-Christian values, they're all the same. They all have value. And that simply isn't true.
What advice would you guys give to men of all ages today to be warriors? You know, a warrior usually wants to fight to win. What are some things? Do you see men more hesitant today? Should we step up? What advice would you give to young business people in all areas of life if we're going to be the kind of warriors that God wants us to be?
You know, I think two things. One, as you said, Don, you know, we want battle. You know, we seek battle. That's what drives men's hearts and their spirits. And I think, you know, the two things you do before you go into battle, you prepare. You don't go in without your armor. You don't go in without knowing who your opponent is. And you don't go in without intending to win. And then you have to look for the opportunity. Because if we wait for a lot of times for the war to come to you or the battle to come to you, you're in a defensive position. So you have to seek out those opportunities and recognize when they come.
You know, I think like what we're doing here now, surrounding yourself with men that, you know, have the same values, think the same way, you know, in maybe different marketplaces, but at least you're here doing it. It helps, you know, you know that you're doing the right thing. The other thing is getting in the Word of God. I mean, that really helps guide you because, you know, you're not making the decisions yourself. You're actually being guided by the Word, and it's controlling your values and everything on there, and it allows you, it strengthens your faith. And then this way you can understand that, you know what, when I make this decision here, you know, it's going to be the right one because it's going to be God's decision, not mine.
Excellent. I appreciate you guys. Again, the support we get from each other every week, praying for each other. We know we can call each other at any time. No matter what we're in, we get that encouragement, that support. And I just pray that God would bless you guys, because you're all warriors out there in the marketplace. And I just want to encourage you to stand strong. God's placed you where He wants you, and He wants you to make a difference. And for all the men out there, you know, God has placed us to stand in the gap. And if we don't stand in the gap for what's right, God will find somebody else. And so don't be afraid to stand in the gap and let light overcome the darkness. All it takes for evil to triumph is for good Christian men to do nothing. And so we can't be hesitant. We've got to be willing to step up and take the risk and go for it.
As I begin today, I'm curious, do we have any warriors here today? That's great. We have a few warriors. That's pretty weak. Ladies, princess warriors, do we have any warrior princesses in the house? It's really good. Men, do you see what just happened? I mean, I'm talking to the warrior princesses, and there's a lot of excitement. I talk to you warriors, and there's little or no excitement. And as your pastor and we're trying to reach men, that is totally unacceptable. In fact, if you do it again, I'm going to call you warrior pansies. So let's stop and let's start all over. Do we have any warriors in the house today? That's a little better. There we go. You see, there's nothing worse than a passive warrior. You meet a guy and he gives you that dead fish handshake. You talk to a man, he has no direction in his life, no fire in his voice. You see a hesitant man of God and he's afraid to take the lead. He backs off, he's passive. So many of you are aggressive and powerful in certain areas of your life, but there are other areas of your life where God has called you to step up and excel, and you become passive and hesitant. You see, the warrior in battle who hesitates is the most vulnerable warrior of all. I want to repeat that. The warrior in battle who steps back and hesitates is the most vulnerable warrior of all. I want to begin this warrior series by talking about the hesitant warrior. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn in the Old Testament to the book of Judges. And we're going to look at Gideon, a man who was a very hesitant warrior. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter 6. Let's get a little background for why Gideon was so hesitant. Verse 1, chapter 6. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelite leaders prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and Amalekites and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land. They ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. They did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravish it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. And so he sent them a prophet. And the prophet said, I brought you out of Egypt. I snatched you from the power of Egypt. I drove them before you and gave you their land. Verse 10, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. Thrashing wheat in a winepress? When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon was a warrior, but he didn't act like a warrior. You see, the Midianites were an evil group of people that we just read. They were taking advantage of the Israelites. They would scare them, hurt them, steal their food. And so Gideon became passive. He was afraid for his life. He was afraid for his people. And so he was not out fighting. He was hiding in a wine press. He'd given in to the idea that the Israelites would always be under the oppression of the Midianites. And look what happens. The angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. He's hiding in a wine press. And what does he say? Gideon, you are a mighty
warrior.
Yeah, you are a mighty warrior. You see, when God looks at you, he doesn't see you just as you are. He sees you for what you can become. Last week we talked about Peter. You remember Peter? He was a guy, wishy-washy, Lord, I'll go anything. I'll go to prison. I'll die for you. Next thing he what? He cops out and he says what? I deny you. And what did Jesus do? He took the name of Simon, wishy-washy, and he changed it to Peter. And the word Peter means rock. In other words, he said, Peter, I am going to tell you, you are a solid, dependable person. And over time, Peter grew into his name. Men, God is with you, mighty warriors. You may not feel like mighty warriors at this time in your life, but God has put something inside of each of you that maybe others cannot see. Others say, you know what? You're a loser. You're not a warrior at all. But God sees warrior potential in you. You see, every warrior has a cause to fight for. What was Gideon's cause? His cause was to go out and save the Israelites from the Midianites. Men, I believe that God has given us a divine desire to fight. And if you're not fighting for the right cause, you end up fighting for the wrong cause. You end up rebelling against authority. And instead of being a spiritual warrior, you become a dangerous warrior, and you end up fighting the wrong battle. Why then do we become hesitant warriors? Now, the truth is, I don't want to admit it, and I think most of us men don't want to admit it, but it's true. Every warrior fears failure. Every warrior fears failure. Even the bravest, most courageous warrior, either before battle or right in the heat of battle, fears failure. We step back and ask ourselves, do I have what it takes to win this battle? Do I have what it takes to pull this deal off? Many men might look at me, or people would look at me and say, Pastor Don, you seem to be a pretty confident spiritual leader. The truth is, I always fear failure. When we decided to start this church, I was scared to death. No money. When we decided to raise $1 million of cash on one day to buy this land, I was scared to death. When I get up to speak every weekend, I get very nervous because I don't want to fail. Every warrior fears failure. Look how Gideon felt in verse 15. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? What did he say? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. He said, God, you don't know me. I come from a wimpy bunch of people, and I'm the least qualified of everybody in my family. You see, when men fail at anything, we often internalize it, and we feel like we're a failure in everything. And that's why most men hate to lose. If we can't come out on top, we don't want to play. Most of you who know me know I'm a very competitive person. And whether I'm competing against you, myself, or whether I'm maybe got a foursome together in golf and we're in a tournament and we compete against everybody else, and sometimes people will say, Don, your team did a really good job. You got second place. You don't understand. We didn't get second place. We lost. All right? That's the way I'm wired. As I said, every year we try to go away and build a memory with our family and all the kids and grandkids. And a couple years ago, we were away building a memory and having a good time and playing football. And I thought we had a great time. And after we got finished and came home the next week, my son said to me, he said, Dad, do you realize that last week you would knock down your 10-year-old grandson in order to catch the winning pass so your team could win? And I thought about it a little bit, and I said, what's wrong with that? You see, the truth is, all of us have bought into the cultural value today that says our worth is based on our accomplishments. So if we accomplish things, we feel good about ourselves. If we don't, we feel very insecure. And that's why when the warrior's fear of failure exceeds his faith in God, he becomes hesitant. I'll repeat that. When our fear of failure exceeds our faith in God, we become hesitant. And when that happens, we become very vulnerable in the marketplace and in other areas of our life. You remember the story in the New Testament of Peter and the disciples. They were out on the lake. They were doing pretty good. Storm came up. They were scared to death. Jesus, all of a sudden, is walking on the water, and Peter looks out and sees it and said, hey, guys, here comes our leader. Man, that's cool. He's walking on the water. Lord, can I come to you? And the Lord says, sure, Pete, go for it. Get out of the boat. And so he gets out of the boat, and he starts walking. And what does the scripture say? He saw the wind and the waves, And he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. What happened? He saw the wind and the waves. His fear of failure exceeded his what? His faith in Jesus Christ. And he started to sink. Man, may I say that some of you have taken your eyes off Jesus Christ? You're looking at your own abilities today and you're saying, you know what? I may not have what it takes. And I want to say to you, you're right. Without God, you don't have a chance. There's some of you young men in this church that are incredible. You want to get married, but you're hesitant. You're afraid to ask anybody out because she may reject you. I know a lot of you guys are dating some awesome women here at CCV, but you can't commit. And when I talk to you, you're hesitant. Why? You say, well, maybe my friends, you see, got married a couple years ago, and I thought they were going to have a great relationship, and now they've just went through divorce. And so you see other people, and you're saying, man, if they can't make it work, I'm not sure I can either. And so you what? You hesitate. You become passive warriors. Or many of you men are afraid to fail as a spiritual leader at home. And so you hesitate. You think your wife is a better spiritual leader than you are. And you don't want to look bad. You don't want to fail in this area of your life. And so you don't even start. You hesitate. Instead of being the godly warrior that God created you to be, you become passive. Why is that? Ladies, I want to stop right now and change gears, and I want to talk to you for a moment. Your role in your warrior's life is bigger than you could ever imagine. Your husband is becoming what you think about him. You show me a courageous, godly man, and most of the time there is a praying, encouraging wife nearby. On the other hand, you show me a passive, hesitant man, and almost every time you will see a woman who has said, you're not any good at this. I can't count on you. You don't come through. You always blow it. You see, in so many ways, he is becoming what you see in him. Let me explain it this way. If I'm good at anything, it's because I have a great wife who believes in me. She thinks I have what it takes, so I am rarely hesitant. I believe that with God's help and her support and encouragement, I can do almost anything. You see, men, your wife needs to know that you love her and value her. Right now, men, write down those two words, love and value. And I'm serious. If you want your wife to think you love her, you better write these down right now because she's looking at you. All right? There it is. Men, your wife wants to know that you love her and value her. That's why she'll say, do you love me? Okay? Women, on the other hand, your husband needs to know that you respect and admire him. Write down those two words, ladies, respect and admire. That's why when you ask your husband, do you love me? He'll say yes. That doesn't yank his chain like when he knows you respect him and you admire him. The Bible's very clear. Ephesians 5:33, each of you must what? Love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Ladies, do you want your husband to be the spiritual leader? Listen carefully. Don't expect him to lead spiritually like you do. Don't expect him to pray like you do. Don't expect him to listen to the Christian radio like you do. Don't expect him to read all the Christian novels like you do. You see, if he can't win in this area, he won't play. You got to let him lead spiritually the way God's wired him, not the way God's wired you. I'll illustrate it this way. Many of you are involved in neighborhood groups in our church. I guarantee you, in almost every neighborhood group in this church, the women will pray more than the men. You know why? We men can't win at prayer. So many things that we do in the church, men can't win. I can't win when my wife prays. When we pray, my wife will say things like, God, you are so awesome. And when we think about you today, we can feel your arms around us. And we feel so confident in what you... And just, oh, it goes on and on. You know what I mean? And then I'm next to her. It's my turn. You know? And how do I pray? God, help me to have a good day tomorrow. Amen. Isn't that right, guys? Yeah. That's. Come on. We be honest. That's kind of the way it is. And we've even experimented sometimes in our group. She'll take the women in one room. I'll keep the guys. You know what happens? Every time, all the guys will pray when the wives are in the other room. Why? Because they can't lose. Can't lose. You bring the women back in next week, and the guys go, I'm not competing with that. And so, ladies, the next time your husband does anything remotely spiritual, don't criticize him. Honor him. Maybe after this series or maybe after this message, he's going to go home this week and say, you know what, honey? I've never prayed out loud in front of the kids for the meal. I'm going to do it this week. And you say, okay. And maybe this week he'll bow his head and you'll hear him say, God is great, God is good, and we thank you for the food. And you know what you do? You pull him aside later and you say, honey, you know what? That's great. Man, when you pray like that, you turn me on. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, really? Let's go in the other room and have a prayer meeting. All of us guys think alike, don't we? Okay. You see, when you let him become the man God created him to be, he will exceed your expectations. Because deep down, every man, every warrior fears failure. That's why, ladies, your encouragement, your support will make all the difference in his life. And so, how do you overcome the fear of failure? Because we all fear failure. Number one, you must change the way you view failure. The Bible says, though a righteous man falls seven times, you see, not once, and he's out. Though he falls seven times, he rises again. In other words, your attitude toward failure determines your attitude after failure. What you think failure is before you ever start is going to determine how you feel once you fail. You see, failure is never final. In fact, failure is the key to success. It can help you start on a whole new adventure. If a baby's going to learn how to walk, it's got to do what? It's got to fall down an awful lot before it learns a new skill. You don't learn how to be a great sailor by staying in calm seas. You don't become a great leader by never taking responsibility. You don't become a great warrior by never going into battle. And so today we have people training for success when we should be training for failure. Why? Because failure is a lot more common than success. In life, the question is not, will you have problems? The question is, how will you learn from your problems? And so when you fail, when you fall down in life, what? He says, even though you fall seven times, he rises again. Get up and shake it off and move on. I think one of the major differences between greatness and average is how we view our mistakes. Failure is not final. It can be your stepping stone to where God wants to take you. Bible says in Psalm 21, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Who am I going to be afraid of? How do you overcome the fear of failure? You got to change the way you view failure. Secondly, you must surrender the outcome to God. Judges 6:13, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening to us? You ever feel like that? I'm a Christian, I'm tithing, I'm going to church. God, why in the world is all this happening to me? Hang in there and leave the outcome to God. The warrior can't control the outcome, he can only control the effort. That's why God's more concerned about your availability than your ability. You want to show me a great church? It's not a few people that are superstars. It's of all kinds of people that are stepping up and doing what God's called them to do. Are you ready to be used? Are you willing to join the battle? Can God count on you to give what it takes? You see, the victorious warrior wins the war one battle at a time. You've heard it said, how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you overcome an addiction? One day at a time. How do you become a warrior? One battle at a time. And so if you look in Judges 6 and Judges 7, you will see that Gideon, what? God called him a mighty warrior, but he was hiding. He was scared to death. And so he had to, what? He had to build confidence in him so he would have little successes along the way. Go back and look, and I'm going to skim this real quick. If you look at Judges chapter 6, verse 17, he says, God, did the angel of the Lord give me a sign that you're who you say you are? And in verse 22, he got the answer. In verse 23, God said what? Relax, you're not going to die. I will take care of you. In verse 25, he gives him his first job. He says what? I want you to go out and tear down all the false gods to Baal, and I want you to erect an altar to Almighty God. Now, remember, this is Gideon. He's not the mighty warrior yet. God called him a mighty warrior, but he's the hesitant warrior. And so he says, God, I'll do it. When did he do it? At nighttime when nobody could see him. He got 10 of his servants. He didn't go out in broad daylight and said, I'm the mighty warrior. No, he's still scared to death. He's moving slowly, you see. He still accomplishes the task, but he does it under the cover of darkness. Everybody wakes up the next day and sees what happens. Verse 29, they say, let's kill this guy. And notice what happens. Then his dad steps in when he sees the courage of his son, and he says, leave him alone. Look what happens in verse 34. In verse 34, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the, as whoever they are, to follow him. All right? And they came from all over many countries, and they came to join Gideon in the battle. And then you know what Gideon says? He's this mighty warrior again. He's seeing God work. And look at verse 39. Then he said to God, God, don't be angry with me, but can you give me one more request? In other words, let me just know again for sure that we can pull this off. And then in chapter 7, verse 2, what happens? Early in the morning, everybody gathers together. 32,000 men show up to fight the Midianites. And look what happens. The Lord said to Gideon, you got too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce to the people, here's these great warriors ready to fight this with this mighty leader. Anyone who trembles with fear can turn back and go home. And 22,000 left. What a great group of fighting guys. They got 32. Anybody's chicken, you can leave. 22,000 leave. Only 10,000's left. Can you imagine how scared he was? And then God still said, we got too many people. And he took it from 32,000 to 10,000, all the way down to 300 men. Chapter 7, verse 7, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Wow. Got to surrender the outcome to God. God says what? I want you to see that you can't do it on your own, and the battle belongs to me. And if you want to overcome the fear of failure, you've got to surrender the outcome to God. You've got to let God be God. That's tough for us men to do, let's face it. Because we have been led to believe that we are in charge and we are God. You've got to put yourself in a situation where you are able to live by faith and trust God. And that's why God's getting our attention, whether we want to or not. In the current economic situation, we are having to step back, many of us men, and say what? I'm not in charge. I don't know what's going to happen. God, the outcome is in your hands. I'm going to put my situation in my life in your hands, and I'm going to trust you. Number three, you want to overcome the fear of failure? You got to believe that God will give you what it takes to win. Verse 14, the Lord turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength you have. Underline the strength you have. And save Israel. Am I not sending you? Listen, the warrior empowered by God has what it takes to win. God has given you what it takes to do what he's called you to do. God is sending you. God is leading you. God is speaking to you. God is stirring you. You know what the devil says at the same time? He says to you, hesitant warriors, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not fast enough. You're not a good enough leader. And I want to say to you, don't listen to those thoughts of doubt and discouragement. Whatever you feel you lack, God's promise is he will make up the difference. So how do you overcome this fear of failure? You've got to quit thinking about the whole big war. You've got to stop and think about the battle that's right in front of you. If you want to win, Don't look at the whole big scheme. Look at the battle you're going through today. Let me illustrate. You say, man, I want to lose 30 pounds in the next 6 months. Really? If you look at 30 pounds in the next 6 weeks or 6 months, you'll become overwhelmed. How do you win the battle? You think about the maple long john that's right in front of you today. That's what you do. You don't think 6 months ahead. You think about the one donut that you're tempted to eat today. Win the battle right in front of you. Or you come to church and you're struggling with lustful thoughts. And what happens? A beautiful woman comes into CCV. How do you deal with that? Well, you don't break your neck several times. You keep your focus straight ahead. And you say, God, help me guard these thoughts today. Or you're dating someone. And you walk her to the front door and she says, why don't you come on in and stay a while? And you know exactly what she is asking. And you have the courage to say, I love Jesus too much and I love you too much to come in and have sex with you. You handle the battle right in front of you. Or maybe you come to church all the time, but there's no evidence of Jesus Christ in your family. And some of you men are going to have to win the battle. And you're going to have to tell your wife this week, you know what? We've been flaking off, not going to neighborhood groups for months. We can't make it on our own. We need some help and encouragement from other people in this neighborhood. Let's make a commitment to start going to a neighborhood group. Or maybe you got a teenager running with the wrong crowd. You say, I'm just going to pray for you. That's a start. But you might have to do more than that, hesitant warriors. You might have to pull them aside and say, you know what, honey, son? I love you too much to let you continue on this way. Men, you have what it takes to win. Look what the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3. Let's read this promise out loud together. Ready? God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Now break this verse down. Look at what it says. God has given us how much? Everything that we need. For what purpose? For life and godliness. How do we get it? Through the knowledge of Him. You don't just get it by going to church and hoping through osmosis it runs in. You have got to read the Word yourself. You've got to understand the character of Jesus Christ so that His character can take over your character. God has given us everything we need. And so Gideon, 32,000 men, and he still said, God, that's not enough. And so what did God do? I'm going to send more troops. No. He took it from 32,000 to 300 so that Gideon had to totally depend upon Almighty God. And maybe that's where you're at today. You feel like you're losing the battle. You feel like you're going backwards. You're crying out to God, God, help me defeat this addiction, this struggle, this enemy in my life. And you know what God's probably saying to you? I'm going to let you get so low that all you've got is me. And when you fall completely on your face and you hit rock bottom, I want you to know that I'm enough and I'm all you need. You see, most men's greatest fear is failure. And the problem is that our greatest fear often leads to our greatest pain. And that's why most men's greatest pain is what? It's regret. Some of you are going to look back one day and say, how in the world did I miss it? Life has gone by so fast. How did I let that incredible opportunity pass me by? It was right there in front of me, and I couldn't step to the plate and pull it off. I was afraid to even give it a try. My fear of failure was greater than my faith in God, and I was passive and hesitant. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Don, that's the story of my life. I haven't been the spiritual leader in my home. I haven't run my business on biblical principles. I haven't said no to my friends when they wanted me to compromise my values. I haven't been a godly warrior in the marketplace. I'm a failure. What do I do now? Here's what you do. Philippians chapter 3. You forget what is behind, and you strain toward what is ahead, and you press on to win the goal for which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Men and women, boys and girls, every one of us today, that means before we leave, we put a stake in the ground and we say, I can't change the past, but I can determine the direction of my future. And so often we beat ourselves up, wasting energy, thinking about all the things we could have done different. That is futility, people. Regret will kill you. Let it go. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? God has given you so many years ahead. You've got to say, I'm going to give it all I've got, and I'm going to be the man or woman that God has called me to be. I'm not going to live my life with regret. And so you say, you know what? I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to step up and lead my family spiritually. Warriors, don't hesitate, or you'll end up living your life with regret. So the key question I want you to think about is this: what are you going to regret for the rest of your life if you don't at least try? What's that one area of your life that you know you got to face? The rebellious teenager, doing business in a way that does not honor Jesus Christ. Men, you're not loving your wife. Wives, you're not respecting your husband. What is the area that you have been afraid to step out in faith and trust God, and you're hesitant, and you're living with regret? Don't hesitate. Live by faith, and let your faith exceed and overcome any fear you face. And so we kind of end up where we started. CCV, do we have any warriors in the house today? Yeah. Then let's go out and fight to win. Go get them. Have a great week.